Welcome back to another episode of They're Soulmates, the Ted Lasso podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are your after show, where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they're connected, and why they are soulmates for two more episodes.
Oh, two, yeah.
This one and one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry it's late this week. Kevin was in Chicago.
Yes, I was.
For the weekend.
Yes.
It's Sunday now.
We didn't get a chance to knock it out.
And I felt all out of sorts. Usually we watch the episode, It's like 2 days, we do the podcast, and then there's like this relief until
now
through the weekend and back. And since we hadn't done the podcast yet, I like hadn't let go of the episode completely.
That's funny. That's a good way to describe it.
Right?
Let go of the episode.
Yeah. All weekend, I like kind of still felt that like...
Stress
of knowing we still had to do the episode. But, I should post a picture of this on the Twitter too, because on the Twitter? On my Twitter. My mom was in town and she had figured out how to use the serger that I've had for years and never figured out how to use. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make some pajama shorts. So that's how I distracted myself over the weekend. But there was a small hiccup in the road at first.
Yeah, they were huge.
I had just sewn them the wrong way. And we had a good laugh over that. But then I got it. I got it right.
They were big pants.
Yeah, I should post that picture because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I basically sewed like the butt together and then the front together instead of the legs. I was wondering why the sushi, because they were sushi material. I was wondering why all the sushis were upside down when I thought that they were going to be in the right direction. Oh gosh, that was a good laugh.
Anyway.
So here we are. The episode we're going to cover today is Mom City. It was released on May 24th, 2023. Written by, the story's by Brendan Hunt and Jason Sudeikis. And then the teleplay is by Joe Kelly.
Oh, cool.
And then Declan Lowry, who we've heard that name before as a director on this show, directed it. So for the summary, I have Ted runs into his mom in Richmond, and it's the time of year when Rebecca drops the truth bomb. I'm glad a little bit, too, that we had maybe some more time to process this episode than we normally do, because I think my head was kind of spinning a bit.
I mean... It was a heavy episode.
It was a heavy episode.
Holy crap. I don't even know how we're going to do this.
I know. It was a heavy episode, and it's not looking good for us.
No.
You know, I mean, them being soulmates is always going to be there, I think. But them ending up as anything more than soulmates who work together and will maybe keep in touch later on, not so sure anymore.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And I can't believe that we are, approaching the end.
Yeah.
Although everybody's going crazy on Twitter and Facebook and Twitter about how on Apple it says series finale, not season.
Season finale,
not series finale.
I know.
Which is it is interesting, right?
It is, but I'm not getting my hopes up on that because my thought is like Apple's just grasping at any straw they possibly can, hoping that there's going to be some sort of new iteration of Ted Lasso in whatever way.
But and there's also, it's not lying. It is the series.
It is the season finale, right?
I'll get it right. It is the season finale, right? So I would have never thought of it. But
Succession is also ending today, actually tonight.
And now that one says season.
Yes, and it's like season the finale. Final episode. I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up about that. Honestly, I don't know if I want this show to go on.
No, I can't do it anymore.
I don't mean just this, but like, the ending that I think we have coming makes sense to me. as far as Ted. So I don't really see how they could continue a fourth season without it being in a different location or, you know, or being without Ted.
Yeah, some kind of spinoff or something.
But I hear the spinoffs I'm interested in. The Roy Keeley Jamie Threpple. I'd watch that.
Okay.
The Keeley Barb public relations business.
Yeah, okay, wacky. That's got like a what was it? Designing Women.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they also fight crime just for fun at night.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those are the two big ones.
And Beard and
yes, Beard and Nate are now going to be besties.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Beard and Jane.
A
Beard and Jane spinoff. That's very, very wacky.
Yeah, it's just...
Wackiness ensues.
Isn't there like an HBO or Showtime show called Couples Therapy? It's just that show.
Yeah, exactly.
With the two of them. So when this episode starts, Ted's walking through Richmond. He's on his way to work and you see him passing people. And the choice of colors here is very interesting and probably done on purpose. Everyone is wearing like red or blue. It's very Richmond colors.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tennis couple in white with just like a blue backpack or tennis bags. And I like when he barks at the dog, the one lady's dog, and she doesn't really seem at all.
I know.
She's just like, huh? Yeah. And we see Susan, who's a shop owner that we've seen before. And then he runs into another familiar face, Mrs. Barnaby.
Oh, right. Mrs. Barnaby, right?
Yep. She is the lady who...
You had to point that out to me.
She's the lady who bid on Roy at the gala episode.
Yeah, that was a good catch.
And then a blonde jogger runs by, and that made me think, where is Shannon? Do you remember who Shannon is?
No.
She's the girl
I
that he's...
I feel bad saying, who's Shannon, but who's Shannon?
Well, we haven't seen her at all this season, and she's always just had little tiny bits, but she's the young girl
who plays soccer.
Kicks around the ball with when he sees her.
Yeah, where was she?
And she always has these little, you know, moments with him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really surprised that we have not seen her at all this year, so maybe she's going to be in this last episode.
But he knew the jogger, right? Who was the jogger?
Did, yeah, I mean... It seemed like he kind of knew her.
Oh, he just said, there she is. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she's like, what's up, Ted? He said, there she is.
Maybe she runs by often. Mm-hmm. He runs into Wanker Guy, who's telling him, don't get cocky with this streak.
And of course he says, what streak?
Right,
which is the right thing to say.
Yes. So then he walks a little further and he sees a woman sitting on a bench and he says, how you doing there? Mm-hmm. And then you see him come back and he goes, Mom?
I know, crazy.
Yes. So there's Ted Lasso's mom sitting on a bench. He had no idea she was going to be there, and she shows up in Richmond.
Yeah, they did that. It was really done well, the whole scene. The whole scene of leading up to the mom.
And I always wondered what Ted Lasso's mom was going to look like. And I think it was pretty good casting as far as, like, their noses are even similar.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah.
They did a good job casting. And she's really good.
She is very good. I found out that she was the mom on Freaks and Geeks, which I have watched, but has been so long. I need to go back and watch a few episodes of that. It's on Paramount Plus. That's a plug. But actually, I'm just telling you because we have that. The next time we see Ted, he has taken his mom back up to his apartment.
Right.
And she's kind of poking around. She looks in the cabinets. He texts Beard to let him know he's going to be late.
Right. But he doesn't say what it is, which is interesting. He says something came up.
Yep. He came down with a case of mind your fucking business.
Yeah, pretty much. Says, like,
yeah. So the mom's poking around, looks in the cabinets. She's like, it's sparse. She picks up peanut butter, the open peanut butter, and just starts eating it. So now we know.
Yeah, we know. That was a common thing in the last
family trait. Yeah.
Household.
She asked Ted what all the crazy symbols are on the oven. I had to look these up because they made me laugh.
Well, yeah, I know. And when this happened, I was trying to remember what our oven looked like in our Airbnb when we stayed in London. Because I don't remember if it had symbols.
Yeah, but we didn't bake
anything. But we didn't
anything.
Use it. You're right. Like, we didn't use
maybe
it.
Maybe use the stove, but...
You're right. You're right. So we did only use the stove.
He says the one that looks like the nuclear power symbol, that's for making cookies and chicken. Here, I have it on my screen if you want to see what it looks like. That actually means the fan with lower heat.
What are all these squiggly lines. They literally are squiggly lines.
Then he's like, and the three squiggly lines lets you burn frozen pizza.
I know, that was funny.
So that's either this one that's oven warming or the one that says that the top two areas
two
are also
lines
full grill.
Going left to right as opposed to up and down.
Yeah. And then I'll put these on Twitter. And he says, and the key symbol there, that makes the whole thing beep until Beard comes over and fixes it for me.
That means it just sits there and beeps until Beard shows up.
It's the child lock.
Oh my God, that's funny.
So he's child locked himself out of the oven more than once because you can tell Beard's had to come over and fix it. So he rambles through all those and he's like, everything okay, Mom? And she's saying, yeah, sure. I'm just looking around. And he's like, no, I mean, why are you here? Is everything okay? And she says everything's fine, that she's always wanted to see London, so she gave this to herself as a gift for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Already that's bizarre. Like,
yeah.
That she wouldn't contact him at all.
Go across the entire country and not let your son know I'm coming.
Just show up. Yeah, and he asked her, how long have you been here? And she says a week. So she already has been there doing other stuff for a week, staying right in a hostel because apparently she's 21. And
with all the Australians.
Yeah. She met these great Australians. They're backpacking through Europe. So much sex.
So much sex. Well, not me.
Right.
the Australians.
Oh, God. Poor Ted. He says, all right, well, now please stay here. And she's like, I don't want to be a bother. And he's like, you're not a bother. I want you to stay with me. Mm-hmm. Then he said he has to go to work. And he asks her to tag along. And again, she's like, I don't want to bother you. He's like, no, let's just go. You don't need to bring your suitcase. I don't know why she was going to bring it with her.
Because she's been, traveling everywhere.
And he ushers her out the door, and she's singing a little song, which is very similar to something Ted would do, and he's super annoyed with it. And we get the first Ted groan of the episode where he's like,
I know. And, it's fascinating because she does things, of course, that like he does, mm-hmm. and he's annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I had that in my notes where it's like, you're annoyed by your parents without realizing that you are your parents.
Yes.
Like, you have these traits from your parents that
you
annoy
do.
The crap out of you, but you also do them.
Right. Right, and 100%.
We had the idea that they weren't super close, but I feel like now we're obviously really seeing that. Like, for her to just come out there and
right,
because
she hasn't come out
in yeah, like
three
she
seasons,
has a,
at least that we know of.
She's never. Right. I would say she's never been there before because she says she's
oh, based
always
on she's
to see
meeting
England.
Everybody
yeah,
at work
and she's meeting and everyone.
The Sherlock Holmes Museum.
Yeah, we do know that they have a strained relationship, but we don't really know why yet. So Ted takes Mama Lasso to Rebecca's office to introduce them. And he says, this morning I come in with biscuits and with a special guest.
Yeah, this was a great scene.
Yeah.
So awesome.
That is the same dress she had on at the at Sam's restaurant opening, Ola's restaurant opening.
Oh, is that
where
right?
I was saying that's like a revenge dress where you just want to look super hot. She also has it in brown. It's gorgeous.
Oh.
Fits her perfect. She asks, to whom do I owe the pleasure? And
in a very lasso way,
she says he's his new bodyguard. Please keep your hands where I can see them.
I know. And I love that she throws her hands up.
I know.
Like she has no idea what to do, like at this point. But it's very, very Ted Lasso, Lasso-esque.
Right. And that's when Rebecca realizes, oh, my God, you're Ted's mother.
Yeah. And Ted, again, seems annoyed.
Yes, completely annoyed, even though she says, winner, winner, BF Skinner.
Yeah, and you know who B.F. Skinner is?
Oh, I looked it up.
Oh, so did I.
But you
okay.
do? Okay.
Well, I didn't know if you looked it up. So I,
yeah.
I mean, I knew you would. Who am I kidding?
Consider the father of behaviorism.
Yeah, I looked it up. No. That's interesting.
And she gets up and Ted introduces. At first, I thought Rebecca already knew the mom's name. I didn't catch Ted introducing her. And I thought that was super cute that she would have remembered what the mom's name was. But I was wrong.
No, he says this is Dottie Lasso.
This is Dottie Lasso. And now we know Ted's mom's name, which is short for Dorothy.
Oh, is that right?
Another Wizard of Oz reference. Not just in this episode, but in, throughout the series. And then they hug. they're laughing. And I, she says, thank you. I'm so excited to be able to meet the man. I mean, meet the woman who created one of the nicest human beings I've ever known.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yes, that is very sweet. And she's like, oh, don't thank me. He came out and immediately asked the doctor if we needed anything.
Okay, and see, again, and then he says, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and he explains it,
right.
How ridiculous it is. Babies can't talk. They don't understand right. Empathy. And, but that's something he would say.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he's annoyed again.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't need to keep pointing it out. But you know what I'm saying?
Because yes. we don't realize that we are our parents.
I know.
Even when we're annoyed by our parents. And Rebecca gives a very hearty laugh there to Dottie Lasso with that joke, which is also very sweet. So then she says, Dottie, I'm sorry, may I call you Dottie? And she's like, only if you want me to respond. And she's like, I would love to show you around. She's like, oh, great, because I really wanted to see the Sherlock Holmes yeah, Museum.
Exactly.
And she says, around the facility. And that's a callback to when Ted, she says, would you like a tour? He said, yes, I'd really like to see Abbey Road. And she says, of the building or of the club.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Another thing, the Sherlock Holmes Museum reference is Jason Sudeikis has said that his mom's a travel agent, and I guess she took him to London for the first time when he was like 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I went to this, you know, amazing place with all this history and old buildings, and the two places I really wanted to go was the Sherlock Holmes Museum.
Oh, right. I remember you telling me this story.
And one other thing, and I can't remember what the other thing was, but it was also something new. So he's like, in this city of history, I went and saw two new things. And then I thought about our trip to London.
Yeah.
And it's even more pathetic because we're so much older. At least he was 19 at the time. But two of the things we saw was the Ted Lasso neighborhood and the Harry Potter tour.
I know, yeah.
But you know what?
But it was great.
It was freaking fun.
Both were awesome.
The Harry Potter tour.
I love
tour
Richmond. I think Richmond is just great.
Yes, it's adorable. But we saw old buildings too.
Well, no.
We
saw Big Ben. We did the London Eye. Yeah, we saw Tower Bridge.
Yes.
But I'm saying we saw all the things.
Right. Yeah. You know what? Go and see the things that are going to make you happy and are going to interest you the most.
Yeah. Why not?
We're, you know, get the history in there as well. But I'm not going to. I agree with that mentality of going to see the things that will inspire you or make you feel joy.
Yep.
So speaking of joy.
Uh-huh.
Dottie says, oh, that's even better because I would love to meet Danny Rojas. And Rebecca tells her that he does not disappoint. So on the way out, Ted's mom asks Rebecca, where are you from, honey? And she says, Surrey, where are you from? She says, Surrey, again. And she thought she was saying sorry.
Yes, yeah, I would have thought that same thing too, probably. So
yeah, Surrey.
Yeah, yes, it's Surrey. Yes,
that's funny. And then
and that by like she says it louder. Where are you from?
Yeah. And again, we get another Ted groan as he walks out, and he's just like, his day. I hope he woke up in a good mood, and he wasn't already in a bad mood because his day took a shit turn real quickly.
Sure did, out of nowhere.
Now, down in the locker room, we didn't see it earlier, but the Isaac, Will, and Colin had gone to A Taste of Athens to try to talk to Nate to see if he would be interested in coming back to Richmond. Nate, and he asked, like, did Ted put you up to this? And they said, no, Ted doesn't know. And at that point, Nate was like, I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think it's a good idea.
But while they were at the Taste of Athens, they got 75 kebabs.
Right.
I've wanted a kebab ever since this episode.
That's funny. So, you know what was great about that scene, though? I know we don't really cover the extra scenes without Ted and Rebecca, but it made me just love Jade so much more because when she just tells the guys, we don't open for 30 minutes, and do you mind waiting, not here? She's just so direct, a matter of fact.
I know.
And then disappears when Nate's looking for her.
Oh, God.
All the time.
That was so funny. Every day I want to spend time with my girlfriend. She was gone every time.
I know. And I love that he looked up. That made me laugh. Like, what do you think? She just somehow jumped into the ceiling? He's like, how did she disappear so fast?
Jay is a character that at first I was like, whatever.
Right.
And then I was like, wait, what's happening? still kind of whatever. And now I would also watch a Nate and Jade spinoff.
I know, because, yeah, I mean, she's like perfect for him.
Yeah, she really has.
She balances him out, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
And like at first I didn't understand how someone, you know, we saw more development with Nate last week and stuff leading him to redemption. But at first I thought, I really don't understand how him having a girlfriend is going to lead him to redemption. But you're right. She is perfect for him. And she really does like him when he is himself. And I think she could tell that he was playing a character when she first met him. You know, and once he actually loosened up and was comfortable in Nate's skin, she's like his biggest cheerleader now.
Yeah. Good.
So Dottie's down talking to Danny Rojas. She's telling stories about Ted's
childhood.
Right,
to the whole clubhouse.
Yes, and this is Ted is not enjoying this. And I like when Danny says, would you like a kebab, Mama Lasso?
Mama Lasso.
Or I think he says kebab or something like that. It's so cute. And she declines, but then they cut to
Rebecca.
Rebecca and Ted are looking through the office window at what's going on. And she is going at that
kebab.
She's
gnawing on a kebab.
Yes. She immediately probably said yes. I just can't understand how this woman can eat and still look beautiful and recite all of her lines without any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And she just keeps putting
I know. She does such a good job.
She does. She's made this like humorous, like this Rebecca emotional eating or just love of food. So funny and such a great part of her character.
Yeah. She does a really good job with it.
Rebecca asks him, it must be so nice having your mother visiting. And he's like, oh yeah, it's great. And then she says, Oklahoma again.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think this is the third and last Oklahoma now? Because if they do things in threes.
Possibly. But also I just like that that's a part of the their.
Yes.
Their, I don't know, vocabulary.
Yeah.
Or their.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like it was with Michelle,
right?
And now they're, it's like, you could tell that they've done it before.
Right.
I mean, more than we've seen.
Yes, yeah. You know, I did get that impression the last time she said it.
Yeah.
But it's cute because you're right. It is something that started out, you know, while he was in counseling with Michelle. And now it kind of has taken on its own thing between them.
Right. And he doesn't miss a beat when she says Oklahoma.
Right.
He immediately... She showed up out of nowhere. Right. He's all pissed.
Yeah, so he's not enjoying this at all, and he admits that. He says it's weird.
But what's excellent about this scene is that he says she just showed up out of nowhere, you know, like one of those hairs that grows in your eye the day after you turn 40, whatever. But the fact that she then says mothers do that.
Yeah, that's
because
what
how many times has her mother just shown up?
Yes, often.
When there's a naked man in the kitchen.
Yep.
And so,
and when
yeah,
there's
mothers,
Sam in his underwear, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Are we going to see a third of that? Are we going to see Rebecca's mom walk in on someone else in that kitchen? Because
yeah,
we only have this
that.
Episode. And she's so annoyed with her own mother. Even when Higgins was like, you couldn't get a hold of your mom. She was like, are you fucking with me?
I know, right?
But yet she finds Ted's mother so charming and delightful. So it's funny how like. All the things about her mom aggravate her, and then she sees it in Ted's mom and thinks it's cute.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So Dottie's going on saying that her 12-year-old son was not asleep in his room. He had taken the car out for a joyride. He got arrested for driving on the wrong side of the road, so I guess he was destined to live in London.
Mm.
And everyone starts laughing.
Yeah,
and then
so funny.
Back to Ted, he's like, I wasn't 12, I was 15. And the whole reason we got pulled over is because Ronnie Fouch was throwing gang signs at the cop car. Now, we know that name because he's the guy who would put the poop in the candy bar wrappers. And we saw a text from him on Ted's phone, I think in Sunflowers. So they had said happy birthday to each other. And then right after that, the mom says, did Ted ever tell you about the time he ate a candy bar made of poop?
And so I love the Daily Mail reference.
It's such a great dig at the Daily Mail, who has just been relentless with Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde.
I know. That was great when he said that. He's like, you should work for the Daily Mail.
Yeah,
because she says...
Sometimes the truth can ruin a perfectly good story.
Right. And then he says, you should work for the Daily Mail. Yeah, that was great.
Rebecca tells him if he can give his mom one lovely moment, a memory to take back home, then you've won. And he's like, okay. So then she says, all right, well, I got to go see a man about a horse. He's like, I didn't know girls said that when they got a pee.
And she's like, no, Ted, I'm buying a horse.
I'm buying a horse. People were trying to decide if that's something that we're going to find out more about or if they were just going for the joke there.
Yeah, just showing I feel like they're just going money, for
the, right? So reminding us that she's very rich.
Right.
What the
right.
hell is she going to do with a horse? Maybe it's for Nora.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Or maybe she knows how to ride and we've just never seen it.
Maybe.
Probably lots of things about Rebecca we don't know.
I could see it.
So he goes out in the locker room and he tells his mom he's going to change real quick. Then they'll go down to the pitch for training. And as he goes back in to change, Trent comes and sits down.
Trent has been probably dying to sit down with her.
Cannot wait. I know. And I just love when she was like, Trent, your hair is fabulous. It's just styling, she tells him. So Ted's just kind of like, when he sees that they're talking. And the next time we see Ted, he's back in the office because he's come out now and he's gotten dressed.
Now, wait a minute. When you think she... I guess maybe not, would know who Trent is because she probably saw the article about Ted.
Yeah.
Having the panic attack.
Yeah, maybe. Well, no. Oh, yes. She did write that one too, right? And he wrote the first article. But maybe she just like, I don't know if it has his picture. It may just like say his name.
You wouldn't read the name, I guess. I don't always read the name.
But maybe she does know who he is. She's just excited to meet him and tell him that he's got fabulous hair. Mm-hmm. So Beard's making a joke and he's like, oh my God. Coach, our striker looks just like your mom. And he's like, that is my mom.
I know, and Ted's not having it.
No jokes are coming on. Higgins comes in and asks Ted if he has a second. And he says, what is time, Higgs Bosun? What's up?
Yep.
I had no idea what that meant.
Me either.
No, I was never good in science.
No.
But we looked it up. And a bunch of people on Twitter already knew, but you know, most of the people who are doctors and also into Ted Lasso, like Med Lasso.
Right.
Dr. Mark Shapiro. Yeah, they thought it was so funny. But we looked it up, and Higgs boson was a scientist who developed or like proved that there's a Higgs field. And we found a video that actually really explains it for dumb people in a great way. But it was basically saying if you have a party, and there's a bunch of people in the party, and someone who isn't very interesting to anyone walks through the party, they're going to just be able to walk through at the same speed without bothering any of the other particles in the room. But then if someone came into the party who people really wanted to talk to, that person would move slowly through the party and the particles would gather around them and give it mass. So it's basically... like how Jason Sudeikis can't go to Prince's Head anymore.
Right.
When he would first go and no one knew who he was, he moved through easily.
I see, yep.
Now he probably gets slowed down because particles are gathering around him and wanting to talk to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I was like, thank you so much, TED Talk, that explained this in a way that my brain can understand.
Oh, I know. And I was reading the definition on Wikipedia and I'm like, 50% of these words, I don't even know what they are. I feel so stupid.
They're just words in succession.
Yeah, exactly.
So Higgins tells him that morning, a few of his little birdies went to visit Nathan in his new job. So Ted finds out that Nathan is waiting tables at a restaurant in Tooting.
Right.
And then he's like, did he just say Tooting? And he says, yes. You got a town here called Tooting? How has he been there that long? And Tooting's not that far from where they are.
No. How would he not know what it is or had ever heard of it?
Oh, but you know that's like so Ted's style a joke. Unless his mom made that joke, then he would be very aggravated about it.
Exactly.
So they blow by that. And he says, you know, the three little birdies that went and talked to Nate think that he would come back. And Ted's pretty intrigued about that. And then you can tell that Beard is not. Roy walks in and Ted asks Roy, what do you think? He says, I don't give a fuck. He's great at all the shit I suck at.
I know. I didn't catch that the first time. That's so funny.
And he's like, okay. And then he asks, what about you, coach? And Beard says, if you bring that Judas back, I will burn this place to the fucking ground.
And you know what? I mean, like, I have thought about that too. Like, why would everybody be so welcoming and want to bring him back?
Well,
You know what I mean? There's got to be some people that be like, no way.
And yes.
Beer. I mean, obviously we learn later.
But a lot of the other people didn't know how bad it had gotten. Like, I feel like Beard really saw Nate be cruel to Colin. Mm-hmm. And he knows that he's the person who was the informant about the panic attack.
Right, right, right.
But and the team does know about the believe sign. But they don't know that he got into that argument with Ted before he even left.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So everything that we saw is mean they all...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think just knowing Ted, that they figure that he would, you know, want Nate to have a second chance, which mm-hmm. of course he does, even with knowing all the stuff that Nate did was even worse than the team realizes.
No, that makes sense.
And then Higgins does his little...
I know, always with the gagging.
Because Higgins is thinking, we really do kind of need Nate back. I mean, at this point... They're on a streak, which they don't want to talk about.
Right.
But, you know, do they really need Nate at this stage of the game?
Maybe in the future. Can make you even stronger.
True. I love that Trent comes in and asks Ted, is it true that you got on stage and danced with Bruce Springsteen?
Well, it's excellent that he says, no, that was Courtney Cox because of the video. Didn't that come up before?
Oh, Courtney Cox and Bruce Springsteen on this show?
I feel like we've talked about that in our podcast before.
You know what? We might have talked about on the Who's the Boss one.
Oh, boy.
And not this one.
That's possible.
But it is hilarious because it's a very famous video, and the tiny little person getting on the stage with Bruce Springsteen is so obviously not Ted Lasso at any stage of his life.
Right.
But this is showing how moms don't always remember things exactly the way that they happened.
And it's huge details.
Yeah.
It's not like slightly off.
Right. And he says, no, that was a bar mitzvah.
Right. Somebody's bar mitzvah where he sang Glory Days, which was a Bruce Springsteen song.
I'm in that Facebook group for Peanut Butter and Biscuits, the podcast that Craig and Jeremy do. You should listen to it if you don't already. And someone in that group, their husband went to school with Jason. And so they showed a few pictures of the yearbook. And the picture had Scott Cinnamon, who's the bar mitzvah that he went to.
Oh, excellent.
A picture of him. And then it also had a picture of Mrs. Scanlon, who was the art teacher, who was not classically beautiful, but striking. Striking woman, remember?
Yeah.
In the episode Tan Lines. So I thought that was funny. And then a little tiny Jason Sudeikis face. He was very small.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I think it was like an elementary yearbook.
Oh, wow.
But that was fun to see. And it's fun to see how many... I wonder if he really knows a Ronnie Fouch. Hopefully he didn't shit in candy bar wrappers in real life. So Higgins realizes that Ted's mom's there, goes and introduces himself, and she gives him a big hug. She looks over. She sees Beard. We realize that Dottie and Beard know each other already.
Yes, of course.
She calls him Weirdo Beardo.
Yeah.
And he calls her Lottie Dottie. And then they start laughing and singing. And you said this is an actual rap?
Yeah, it's Lottie Dottie by Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh. It was a song back in the 80s, like 80s hip hop.
Oh.
Yeah, Lottie Dottie, we like to party.
Then
she changed the lyrics a little bit.
She gets Higgins and Trent in with Beard for a big group hug. It's like these people have known each other forever. Trent doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
I know. Like, I mean, it's been a hell of a year for
Trent. It has. He quit his job, and now suddenly he's just in some bizarro land where... But it looks like he's having a fabulous time. But Ted is so angry, and in the background you just hear, some of us got to coach football.
All right, oh my God, I lost it when... Some of us got to coach football around here. And he throws the visor
on his head. And it sounds to me...
Because he's just like completely aggravated that his mother is there having a good time. And
everyone thinks she's so wonderful and so silly. Yep. And the way he delivered that line reminded me of, I hope the biscuits don't taste as good, but I know they do because it's the best batch yet. When he's mad at Rebecca in season one.
And if you look closely, when he leaves the room, the visor's all like messed up on his head and not on correctly. It's so funny.
Later that night, Ted has taken his mom and Beard to the Crown and Anchor. I almost said Princess Head. And Beard's playing the Wizard of Oz pinball machine that we've seen on the show before. We saw Ted and Sharon playing this at some point.
Yeah.
Another Wizard of Oz reference. And he gets angry, walks away. And as he walks away, oh shoot, what was he saying exactly?
It's the dogs.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Brick Road, yeah.
Where the dogs of society keep howling.
Yeah.
And that's an Elton John song called Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, because I was watching the episode again this morning and I was like, what is he saying here? This makes no sense, but.
That pinball machine is awesome.
It is. You can buy it, I think. Well, I don't know if you can buy it. It's sold out, according to what I found online.
Yeah,
but it came out in 2013.
I wasn't sure if it was real or if they, like, made it for
right,
the
that's
show.
Right, that's why I looked it up.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so a real cool one with the spinning house and everything.
When Beard sits down, Ted gets up to go play. It's his turn now with the pinball machine. Maybe now that they know they don't have to use coins, they're playing it a lot more.
Yeah, that's right.
And Ted's mom asks Beard, how's he doing? And he's like, he's doing a little bit better than me. He's talking about the game.
Right.
And she's like, no, I mean, how is he doing? And he's like, well, he's Ted. And she says, still running around, making sure everyone's okay and not worrying about himself. And he's like, yeah, pretty much. And then he says, how you doing, Dottie? And she says, don't you worry about me.
Right.
You all have enough cooking without putting my troubles on your to-do list.
Right.
So again, she's exactly like him in the fact that she never wants help from anyone else and she's fine and there's nothing wrong. And May comes over. Ted's mom tells her that her place is beautiful. It reminds her of this Irish bar in Topeka. Oh, no, she says it's much better than the Irish bar in Topeka.
Right. Which earlier she mentions that to Ted. And Ted's like, you probably don't want to bring that up to May.
You know what? When I did not... The closed captioning, it says me.
I
was, that makes much more sense than him saying you don't want to bring that up in front of me.
Right.
Like he was scandalized by his mom being at an Irish bar in Topeka.
Right.
So yes, May, that makes, but then I like how she spins it by telling May it's much better than the Irish bar in Topeka. Because earlier she told Ted it reminds her of the Irish bar in Topeka.
So after Ted says, don't bring it up to May, she does anyway, as if May knows about the Irish bar in Topeka.
And May just says, I'll take your word for it.
Right. I'll just take your word for it because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Then May goes over to where Ted is because she's brought the mom what looks like another glass of rosé and she's bringing Ted another beer. And she tells Ted, your mom's a peach. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And then she realizes that he's just kind of standing there. He's not actually playing the game yet.
Right.
And Ted blows it off as if he's just letting Beard and his mom have a little bit of time together to connect.
Yeah, but I think Ted just needed some time alone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Away from her.
May starts reciting a poem. I did not realize this was a poem, but somebody brought it up on Twitter. And it says, they fuck you up, your mom and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can. And don't have any kids yourself. That is a grim fucking poem.
It really is.
And also kind of completely accurate.
I know, it is.
But she's telling Ted, don't have any kids yourself. Ted's like, he doesn't say anything, but she knows he already has a kid.
Yeah, but she's just reciting the poem.
Yeah.
Right?
And I feel like that really hits Ted and he looks over. Meanwhile, his mom and Beard are having a great time. They're laughing. And you think, once again, Beard is very frustrated with his own mother, but we know that she's a member of QAnon from another episode, but finds Ted's mother completely charming. He looks over again at another point, and the Baz, Paul, and Jeremy are over there.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're there. Right. And is it not Baz?
Paul.
Paul is friends with her on Facebook.
Yeah, we just became friends on Facebook. No,
excellent.
And then Baz says, I didn't know you were almost the drummer in Coldplay. And this time he doesn't even try to correct it.
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. So he takes her back to his apartment that night, and he's telling her, you take the bedroom, please. She's trying to tell him, no, I'll take the couch. He's like, you're not going to sleep on the couch, just sleep on the bed. I'll sleep on the couch. And she's still trying to insist that she sleeps on the couch. And he's like, well, then I'm going to sleep on the floor next to the couch.
Right, and no one's going to sleep
and
in
the
bed.
And no one's going to use the bed. So she relents and finally says, thank you. And then he's like, okay. And he gets her situated. She.
What's with the him trying to put the suitcase on the bed and then she yells at him? Is that, it must be something.
It
must
be like germs. Like right. The suitcase has a bunch of germs on it. I just love this little girl bedroom that Ted Lasso has.
I know. It's funny.
Poor man. Like all of the furniture against, there's like a little vanity and the bookshelf. And the stuff on the bookshelf is, there's some planes and just like another little.
I know. Like what's going on?
Like I'm sure like the only thing I feel like is his is that football helmet that you kind of see on the one.
Yeah.
Little
I think
sideboard.
That's his old team. The old right. team he was coaching.
And everything else is just the crap that came with this apartment.
Yeah.
And he's never really done much to make it his or to like move on. Which I think into another apartment,
mm-hmm.
which I think is also very telling about his place here in Richmond.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So she says, I brought some stuff for you. I thought you might want them. And they're all the clippings that they get in Kansas about his time in Richmond. But the one on top is the panic attack one. So I thought that was so odd if it was like, her way of just trying to put that on top so they could broach the subject.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because you would think you would want to bury that one if you're going to, or not even include it, and just include the ones
that are good. Like
yeah, that
press.
Are good if you're going to give your child some clippings to keep. He asks her if she wants to go to the Manchester game. And she says she's just going to stay because she didn't get a whole lot of sleep because of all the sex. And again, not not her, the Australians. And she says, you know, I get too nervous at your games. I can't tell.
Well, she meant, I mean, watching his games.
Oh, okay. But she gets too nervous watching them.
Yeah, I think she says, "Why? You know, I get nervous for, you know. But also, I think she means also when he was a football coach in America.
Oh,
too,
yeah,
probably,
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I guess she's always been, maybe she just doesn't want to see him lose or she's too nervous that he's going to be upset. You can tell that she doesn't like anything that disturbs, you know, anything,
right.
much like Ted.
Right.
She tells him that she'll have a home-cooked meal for him when he gets back, and he's like, okay, that's nice, thank you. And then she does broach the subject of the panic attacks and asks him if he's still having the episodes.
Right, like not really bringing it up,
right.
but bringing it up.
And he realizes what she means, and he's like, oh, no, not in a little bit. And he tells her, I've been in therapy. And it's been good. And she immediately gets defensive with the, oh, I'm sure it's all my fault.
Right. Which is probably true.
Right. There's definitely things that he, I'm sure, is discussing in therapy with that. But it's funny being, like, before being a mom, seeing that, I think I would have had a different reaction to now being a mom and seeing that. Because it still is like, she probably shouldn't have said that, mm-hmm. but I kind of get that sentiment. Like, but we always make jokes with the kids when I'm mad at them about something that they can save it for later when they're in therapy.
When they're in therapy, yep.
And I'm sure they will.
Yep.
So then he asks her, have you ever thought about talking to someone? And she's like, no, not my cup of tea. You know, and then she's like, as much as I love my tea. So
that's
one
hilarious.
Way that they're not similar.
Right.
She
loves
tea
and he hates it.
Yep, hates garbage water.
I like that reference. It was funny.
I feel like it's very generational for not wanting to go to therapy or not really seeing what the value is in it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to now, where people seem more open to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. And I mean, and I think back then, too, it's therapy's a weakness. Oh, you go to therapy? There's something wrong with you.
Right. I mean, there's...
You know what I mean? It's not as...
Yeah.
Wasn't as widely accepted as it is, I think, now.
Yeah. And then I feel like there's still a bit of a stigma, especially with, like, medications and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it is getting better. The next time we see Rebecca, the team is getting ready to go to Manchester. They're loading up the bus. And she comes out with Higgins because they're getting on the bus. And Ted's very excited. He's like, oh, you're joining us today? And she's like, oh, well, yes, of course, I'm part of the team. And because Nora sent me a very strongly worded text about stop using my private jet.
I know, the environment. Right. Oh, yeah. And then, but then Higgins, yeah, the goddamn environment. Like he just looks so visibly frustrated. Like he must really enjoy the private jet.
He probably does. This is the only time Higgins is going to get to go on a private jet. I was wondering why we had never seen people like getting autographs and stuff in the background before. But I guess it's because they're winning, so they're a bit more popular now, like how the bars.
People are showing up.
Yeah, people are showing up and more interested. So then when they get to Manchester and they're all settled into the hotel, it's movie night. So Ted was lying because once you have a pillow fight, he says you'll never do another movie night. But they have, in fact, had a pillow fight.
That's true.
And now are doing another movie night.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For this night, they're watching You've Got Mail. When they get to the end of the movie, they show Sam in the foreground, Rebecca in the background. Rebecca's sitting next to Ted.
Well, everyone's crying.
Everyone's crying.
Right?
Yes. Most, except for Rebecca. And Sam kind of looks back at her. And she looks at him and they share like a little smile. People are really upset about this on Twitter, but they're watching You've Got Mail.
Right.
And that is kind of the situation that they had where they didn't know who each other was.
Right.
And
yeah, that's true.
His name was like London 152, which is like Joe's name and You've Got Mail. Her name was Boss Girl instead of Shop Girl. But I think what's funny about them showing them look at each other is it's right as Meg Ryan's character is crying and tells Joe, I hoped it was you. Which is much different than Rebecca realizing it was Sam and going, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it doesn't really bother me that they show them there. And then Ted is going to say afterwards that he thinks Sleepless in Seattle is a far superior film.
I like the far superior.
Sleepless in Seattle is a guy with a son, and the son puts an ad in the paper because he wants someone to meet his dad, and then it's Meg Ryan.
Is that
Ryan.
What it is? It's, he puts an ad in the paper?
I think so.
Man, I haven't seen that in a long time.
And then at the end, they meet and they end up together. Like, you just know, it's very, like, they just kind of walk off together. So you assume that they are going to start.
You've Got Mail is the bookstore one.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we're still thinking that this is going in a Ted Becca direction, I think it's funny because Sam and Rebecca were You've Got Mail. Ted saying Sleepless in Seattle is a much better film.
Far superior.
Far superior. So maybe, and in Sleepless in Seattle, it's a single dad. So who knows? Maybe some additional parallels there.
Okay.
I love when Higgins is crying.
Oh my God, he's bawling his eyes out.
I know. And did you see
the way? It's right after the Rebecca Sam thing happens.
Right, right.
Because she looks at Sam and she's like, give him a little smile, whatever, and then just looks over it.
Right.
It's like, pull yourself together, man.
But it's so sweet. The way she's like rubbing his arm, kind of soothing him a little bit. That was very sweet.
Roy's crying. Everybody's crying. I think even Will's crying in the background.
Aw. Why is Will not able to sit? Does he have to monitor the...
Who knows? The security, too.
All right. So later that night, Ted is in his room. And again, we've got Keely on the television
doing
her little spiel.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And I found the transcript for this episode. So it has all of the what she's actually saying. And it says, Manchester has much to offer when it comes to arts, culture, including the Greater Manchester Police Museum.
Whoa, okay.
The Rainy City is also known as well for science and technology, for it was right here in 1917 that Ernest Rutherford first split the atom.
Oh my God, that's so funny that you have all that.
And you'll split your sides laughing at Manchester's many comedy clubs and improvised murder mystery dinner theaters.
Oh, ooh. I guess that museum's real.
I guess so. Yeah. I would imagine all of this stuff is real, but hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's go to Manchester and some... You know what? There's a new person just joined our team at work. and he's from Manchester. Oh. I will ask him if the Greater Manchester Police Museum is real.
The and Greater, in fact, I mean, we can always Google it. But
Rutherford. Yeah. Oh, that's true. That would be easier because I won't see him for a while. But
yeah, I could Google it right now.
You could. Okay. But we're too lazy to do that for the podcast. So we're going to keep going. So Ted texts his mom on, she's asking what the Wi-Fi password is. He tells her it's barbecue sauce, of
with
course.
At sign for the A.
Yeah. Of course.
Barbecue
and
sauce.
And he asks her how she's doing. She's like, oh, I'm fine. I kind of wish I would have gone now.
And then he looks frustrated by that.
Yes. You can tell that he's just like, so I was wondering about that. Do you think Ted's mom was saying she didn't want to go, hoping that he was going to be like, no, I really want you to go. I really, you know, like.
Right, like kind of how he had to drag her to work, you know.
Yeah, talk like her into convince going to work her.
And y'all, I'll be in the way.
And make it seem like it was really, it would be really special to him and important if she did go. And when he didn't do that, she didn't go. And now she's like, oh, well, I kind of wish I would have gone.
Right.
So now she's going to guilt him into feeling bad, I guess, that he didn't really insist that she would go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Another thing I forgot to mention before we move on. During movie night, they're also playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow at the end of You've Got Mail. So another Wizard of Oz reference.
Wow.
So now it's the day of the game, and we'll do some Jamie backstory. So he is worried that his dad's going to be there. He's been out of sorts for a while because he said that now that he's no longer trying to say fuck you to his dad with everything that he does, he feels he has an impotent soul. So the night before, Keeley and Roy followed him and they ended up at Jamie's mom's house. And he has it's interesting to see that relationship because it's so close.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing Ted's relationship where it's not close.
Right. Oh, that is an interesting point because it's just funny to see that side of Jamie, like to learn there's a new layer. You know what I mean? And it almost explains a bit about him. Like, how he was maybe in season one and two.
So because he was very coddled.
Full of himself and confident because his mother. I don't know. Just that relationship.
But it's really sweet. And
no, it is. It is. Yeah.
You get the idea, even just looking at her, that she probably had him young. So they like grew up together a bit. And I love how it was confusing the way Roy was reacting because.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, it almost seemed like he was attracted to her. But I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, especially when he just told Keeley.
Maybe he wanted the motherly.
Yes, I think that's what it is. He just can't get over this relationship that she has with him. And like he wanted, because at the end he tries to go in for a hug and Keeley's like, leave her alone.
Okay, that's enough. Like, she's like, that's enough. And just the Jamie's relationship with his mother is polar opposite, obviously, of what it is with his father.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like she's this loving, caring person. And then the father's distant and was an asshole.
Right.
Know?
And we don't know much about Roy's mother. We know his dad's from South London and a bit racist, but he had a close relationship with his grandfather. But yeah, this show is very good about. Well, it's always been about bad dads. And now it's not about bad or good moms, but it is really digging into like the whole parenting dynamic and like when you're a child as opposed to when you are a parent. And I've really been enjoying that this year, which makes sense because he's obviously trying to figure out where he stands with Henry. So during the Manchester game, Jamie gets hurt, but they don't want to swap him out because Ted really feels like they need him in this game.
Right, and once they replace him, that's it. He cannot go back in.
And my favorite part, and I know you thought this was funny too, was Roy's like, he can play hurt. I've played hurt plenty of times. And Beard goes, you can't walk upstairs.
I know.
Which is so true. So finally, they're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. The medics are working on him. And then that makes it sound more serious than it is. The whatever they are working on his foot.
Yeah. I mean, they're,
And
it's the same girl who was packing the bus earlier, who we have never seen before. She was helping work on Jamie, too.
I know. There are always characters in the background that I'm like, have we seen this person before? What a
fun job that
would be.
Yeah, so finally, basically an extra.
Ted goes over to talk to Jamie, And he notices that Jamie's looking around. He's like, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my dad, and I can't find him, and it's freaking me the fuck out. So Ted's like, yeah, it's kind of like when you don't know where Freddy Krueger is, because you know any second he's going to pop out and stick that knife hand in your face.
Knife hand.
And Jamie's like, yeah, Freddy Krueger's fucking terrifying. But Ted says, yeah, you know, he had a rough childhood. And as we all know, hurt people hurt people. Sometimes they just do it with their knife hands.
Knife hands.
So he finds out that Jamie hasn't talked to his dad or seen him since the last time when they played Man City at Wembley. So Ted asks him, if you could talk to him now, what would you say? And Jamie says, I'd say, fuck you. And he's like, okay, well, that makes sense. Anything else? Yeah. And he said, I'd say, thank you. And he's like, you know, Jamie, if hating your dad isn't getting you anywhere and motivating you anymore, maybe it's time to try to forgive him.
Yeah, which is what this is, show's been
show's all about.
All about, yep. Forgiveness.
And Jamie's like, I wouldn't do that for him. And he's like, you're not doing that for him. When you choose to forgive someone, you're doing that for yourself. And a little light bulb goes off in Jamie's head.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's pretty good advice, yeah. Actually.
So he feels better. Ted thinks it's the talk, but Jamie says it's the adrenaline and the painkillers.
Yeah, that was funny. Ted, I like that Ted pointed out that it was the talk.
Makes him feel good that he helps somebody. That's what Ted loves to do.
I know.
So Jamie gets back in and they win the game.
Yeah, and the other cool thing was that what they did here is they've been booing Jamie this whole time, but then when he got up, you know, after injuring himself, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of cheered him. They kind of gave him that, like, nod of like,
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was realistic or...
It is.
Or not.
It is good. And the reason... A lot of times, like, I don't know, sports is so weird. Like, a player will go and play for another team, and when they come back, sometimes they'll get booed, and sometimes they'll get cheers, you know? It just depends how much respect or what they did for that organization. It happens in baseball a lot. I think even in football a lot, too. But, yeah, sometimes the fans will still say, hey, you know, they give them a nod.
Right.
So it's all in fun that it's boo this and boo that, and they're happy to see them fail. But especially when they're going to retire, they'll get that a lot too.
Well, that's sweet. Well, I like
that. Yeah, they go to the old stadium they used to play for, that team, they'll give them the respect. And the...
Right.
So
I mean, it's kind of different where Roy just... Well, I guess Roy left, but he was still legendary in Chelsea.
Right, which is why they gave him that nod a couple episodes ago. But yeah.
So when the... game's over. They're back at the football club. Beard and Ted are in the office. And Beard's getting ready to go out to karaoke. And he assumes that Ted's going to go too. And Ted's like, no, I can't. I got to go home.
No, I have panic attacks at karaoke. No,
that too. He says, I got to go home because my mom's going to make dinner and it's her last night here. So before Beard leaves, he asks him to come over. He's got something pulled up on his computer. And he has the security video again of when Nate...
Which is hilarious.
I know.
When that's so Nate, excellent.
Ripped up the Believe sign after the last game of last season. And it shows that Nate was still in the office when they went in there after the game. And he's like, he had to sit underneath the desk and hide for like 3 hours while we all laughed and danced and... I know,
the dancing, the train that the team's doing, the dance train is hilarious.
It's like, and then after we leave, he thinks he's in the clear, but as soon as he comes out, the cleaning crew comes by, and he's like, and he was stuck in there again for like another 2 hours. And the funny thing, too, is I love when you see the trash can get pushed out from underneath the desk as the cleaning crew is there.
I know. He's like, well, I better get the trash can.
Might as well help so that they don't have to get under here and
I guess, or maybe he was worried the cleaning crew would find him under there. Yeah.
But if he just like popped out when they were in another room, he could have just pretended he was supposed to be there. No, they didn't know.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be funny.
But it wouldn't make funny.
Then he says, and then he thinks he can finally leave and the door's locked. So he has to climb out the window. And I love when he climbs out the window. Yeah, he falls, but then he goes back and shuts it all the way.
I know. Very like, well, we got to shut the window.
And Ted says, you know, I don't know about you, Coach, but I hope that either all of us or none of us are judged by the actions of our weakest moments, but rather by the strength we show when and if we're ever given a second chance. And as Ted walks off, Beard says, fuck.
I know, and true Roy style.
So just to complete this storyline, Beard goes to see Nate.
Right.
And we get some major
Beard
backstory.
Crazy.
When he goes to see him, he basically says, Ted and I met playing college football, which I always wondered how they met. I thought it would be in college. Ted was a kicker, which is, that sounds about right. Tall, skinny guy as a kicker.
Yeah.
Probably, well, you know what's interesting is in my high school, there was a tall, skinny guy who was a very good kicker. And he had played soccer his whole life.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
a lot
and then
of
when he got to high school, he played
kickers
football.
Kickers and football were soccer players. Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Then after school, they went their separate ways. Ted started dating Michelle, and Beard went to prison.
Yep.
When he got paroled, he had... Oh, and Ted got into coaching. When he got paroled, he didn't have any money. The family didn't want anything to do with him. So he looked up Ted, and Ted took him in, fed him, and let him crash on his couch. So in return, he stole Ted's car.
I know, but hang on. The one thing we did not mention is when Beard shows up in Nate's, and Nate surprises him, and he asks if he's here to kill him. Are you here to kill me?
This whole scene.
Because he knew, like, Beard really hated him.
Right.
You know,
really, yeah.
He's pissed at him.
Because he was the one who basically called him out before the, you know.
That's right.
That
oh, yeah,
said
yeah,
you're being
right.
gross to Colin and stop
yep.
it. And he's got to know that Beard knows he was the informant. But
right.
Beard says that he didn't get very far. And he would have gone back to prison if Ted didn't go down and convince the cops that he actually let him borrow the car.
Right.
And Nate's like, this sounds a lot like Les Mis. And he's like, yes, our stories are very similar. I went to prison for stealing a loaf of meth.
I know. I love that he justifies it, or he says, yeah, it's so great. It's so funny.
And then he stole from his friend who forgave him. So he said Ted gave him a job and gave him a life. And so to honor that, he is going to forgive Nate. And he offers him a job. So they kind of, not make up, but whatever.
Yeah, but there's an understanding.
And yeah. And then Nate's like, are you sure that you don't want to headbutt me?
I know.
And he just kind of grabs his head, brings him in close.
Yeah, that was cool. That was
and
cool
then
scene.
Gives him a hug. You know.
God, the last like 20 minutes of this episode.
I know.
Get,
just
get out
punch
of here.
After punch.
I know.
But the thing too is, I mean, I don't know Beard, Brendan Hunt, really, from other acting roles. I think we've seen him maybe in one other thing that we've seen.
Really?
I think there was one thing that I saw that he was in, and it might have even been associated with Jason Sudeikis. I'm not positive. He was in the original commercials as well, and Jason said that he wanted Brendan to be Coach Beard when they did this show. But, like, that scene is so amazing.
It is.
The tear that goes down his face, the whole story, like, you forget that he's hugely talented and trained actor as well as being a writer and just like the funny guy.
Right.
Which I always love when you see comedic actors, when Jason does it too, when Will Ferrell's been able to do it, Steve Carell, when they are so funny, but then they also can just punch you in the gut.
Oh yeah.
So easily.
Yeah. There's that one movie with Will Ferrell. It's like, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head,
is
but
he
plays
one the
an
guy
alcoholic
has to
and he
sell everything in a yard sale.
Yeah. He's excellent in that.
Yeah. And Steve Carell's always been great in any kind of dramatic role that he's done. And before we move on, I forgot to say this also, that Ted is a mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if Ted wasn't Ted, neither Beard or Nate would be where they are. Like, Ted had trauma in his life.
Right.
And the way he was raised kind of gave him this mentality. But if he hadn't had that open heart, even though it was kind of born out of something not healthy, then Beard probably wouldn't be where he is, because he wouldn't have been so willing to forgive and give him a second chance.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's interesting.
So
that's
it's also interesting to see how someone else's pain and misfortune actually helps other people.
Yeah.
So when Ted gets home, he walks in and there's candles lit.
Yeah, this scene was interesting to me because he walks in and I swear there's pillows on the couch that I've never seen before. So I think mom went shopping and bought like a bottle of pillow that says Happy Place.
She go to M&S.
Maybe.
Did they have Home Goods or TJ Maxx in London?
Or maybe even what's the other one? Hobby Lobby. Is there British Hobby Lobby? Because there's like Happy Place and there's candles and you can tell Ted's looking around. There's flowers.
Right.
There's another pillow on the other couch. It's the seat that has the Happy Place, and then the other one has hello. One that just says hello. And he's kind of looking around like, is this my place?
Yeah.
And the other cool thing about his apartment here, I've noticed that picture of Tower Bridge. There's a picture of Tower Bridge behind him, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
I'm sure it came with the place.
I think that one definitely came with the place. Wonder if she got those plants too.
If you notice, and this is more of like maybe like an insider type of thing, but every picture I've ever seen hung in Ted's place, there's something above it where it looks like the picture's hanging down from something and not on the wall itself.
Yeah.
Which I think is bizarre, but
I wasn't sure if that's like a UK thing.
Yeah.
Or if that's just a set thing.
Oh, a UK thing, I see.
Because this is a set, but
right.
I don't know if that's like a thing to hang pictures. Walls, it actually kind of makes sense.
All of them do it.
If you had places that had a bar and then a thing hanging and then you put the picture on that instead of putting nails on the wall, especially for corporate housing.
Yep, true.
Or whatever this is called. So Dottie says, welcome home. Congratulations on your big win. And she says she didn't know if he'd be in the mood for meatloaf or lasagna. So she made both. She had a big day.
And you know what? That's kind of that would be like a Ted thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I made both, you know?
Right. And that's the way she figures he's got food left over for once she's gone. It's a very mom homey thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, what's wrong? Why are you here? And she doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's like, if you have something that you need to say to me, I appreciate it if you would just go ahead and say it. And she's like, stop. I just want to spend time with you. It's my last night in London. And he tells her, all right, okay. Well, thank you for cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. And fuck you for not wanting to talk.
Wow, this scene.
Yeah. That was the first one. So now we've heard Ted curse twice. Win the whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something about not wanting to deal with that shit anymore.
And this.
I think in this season. And now this one. And she's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And he says, thank you for flying all the way here to come see me. And fuck you for not telling me that you were coming.
You were coming.
Thank you for all the small, silly little things you did for me as a kid. Hiding notes in my lunchbox. Putting googly eyes on fruit in the supermarket just to make me laugh. And fuck you for not working on yourself or seeking help after we lost Dad. And for not talking to me about it either. So basically, after the father died, she glossed over it. She pretended like everything was fine. And she tells him, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't really know what to do. So I just pretended I was okay.
I know. I mean, like, you almost can't blame her. I mean.
Yeah, I mean. It's just,
you know what I mean?
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like.
And especially that generation. That was probably the thinking,
we
just go on. All right. Well, we move on and we get past it. Yeah.
Move on. Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate the apology. And fuck you for making me think that I had to pretend to.
Right. Like it rubbed off on him, you know, like he didn't ever face it either.
So, I mean, I guess so. Neither of them went to therapy after the dad died that they're stating here.
Because it's not a standard, you know, dad had a heart attack or whatever.
Right.
It was suicide. So it was heavy, you know, like that's a heavy thing to deal with, you know.
I just can't.
Dad didn't want to be around us anymore. And he killed himself, you know.
I just can't imagine like how you just kind of go on with your day-to-day life after that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the fact that at the time, I do feel like suicide is dealt with differently now. And what is it? A person completes suicide or something is what it's called now instead of committing. Because it's not so much that it's like something that's happening to the person more than something that they're doing.
Oh, yeah, I see. Right.
Because there's always been this kind of like blaming of like, well, they wanted to leave or they didn't love me enough to want to stay. But it's not. what we have realized now with mental health is that the person is in such a bad place that they think it would be better. Everyone will be better off if I'm not here.
Right.
So it's right. almost not, it's considered a selfish act when really it isn't. And when this happened, what was that? 80s, right? No, 91. They said when it was.
Yeah, 91, yeah.
So yeah, so the things weren't talked about even more than they are now. So she finally says, okay, if you, I do have something to say to you. Your son misses you. And then Jason, as Ted, just starts crying. And it's so... just like, if he doesn't, I will be surprised if he doesn't win an Emmy for this scene this was alone. And I think that the mom basically came here to tell him this, but didn't know how to do it. Like, I feel like that's the whole reason she came here.
Right. Like, she knows she's there with him, with Henry, right?
So, yeah, she probably sees Henry.
And she wanted to tell Ted, you're right, but didn't know how to do it.
And was thinking, like, I finally need to let him know that he misses him. And Ted's basically doing to Henry what his dad did to him by, like, removing himself from the situation in a much different way. And I think she probably just didn't know where to start and probably didn't even know how to tell him she was going to come. So that's why she stayed in the hostel
with the Australians having sex.
The Australian sex fiends. Ted says that he misses Henry also. And he admits that he's sometimes scared to get too close to him because he's worried he's going to leave. And then she says something so perfect about parenting, which is, that's the thing about being a parent. Sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you win. But most of the time, you just tie. And all we can do is keep playing.
That's so true.
Yeah. Like, Henry is going to leave, most likely just in the form of going to college and having his own family and maybe moving somewhere else. And Ted has such abandonment issues that, kind of like Roy, he figured he would leave first before Henry was able to do it to
him.
Yeah,
interesting.
Then he says thank you to the mom and she leans in and says, fuck you. And it's cute how it kind of lightens a bit and he's embarrassed that he said so many curse words in front of her. And then they sit down to have dinner and he decides, why don't you take a seat and I'll serve you tonight. And then he says, let's start with the wine.
Yeah.
Which is funny because in Sunflowers, when he was like, I feel like I need to drink some wine and yell at my mom. But instead he yelled at his mom and now they're drinking some wine.
Yeah.
Which is probably a better order for that to happen. So now going back to the soulmate connection between Ted and Rebecca, we've always known that something awful happened to Rebecca and to Ted on the same day, possibly at the same time when they were young and impressionable that left an impact on them. But I realize now there's actually a little bit more of a connection because something happened in front of Rebecca that made her father basically be cut out of her life. Like their relationship was never the same after that. And her mother pretended that everything was fine.
Right.
The mother knew he was cheating the whole time, never dealt with it, never talked to her about it. And now we find out that Ted's mother reacted much same way. So not only did something devastating happen to both of them on the same day, possibly at the same time, that changed their outlook on relationships, but their mothers also dealt with it pretty much the same way. Which is going to be even more upsetting if they really just say bye to each other and then send an email every 6 months.
Send an email.
Like, just as far as,
an email?
I don't know. Maybe a text, a GIF, a silly GIF. Maybe they're on WhatsApp. Who knows? When Ted wakes up the next morning on a way too small cat, why does the man only have a love seat? He finds that his mom left a little note that says she's sorry, and then she thanks him, but this time she only thanks him. And she made him some sunflower
seed. She says thank you and only thank you instead of fuck you.
Right. No more fuck yous. He's wearing his Joe Arthur shirt again, too, which I love.
I know.
And she made him a sunflower seed.
Apparently overnight while he slept.
Yeah, like he didn't hear any of that in the kitchen. Unless that was one of the other things she made the day before and then just set it in front of him. And you mentioned that he was clutching, or you pointed out that he was clutching the Hello pillow.
Yeah, his new Hello pillows.
When Ted gets to work the next day, we saw this in the trailer too. I think the first trailer that they put out of him walking in and like looking around at all the lockers. And he walks into his office and Rebecca is already standing in there. She's looking at the Pyramid of Success. And she asks Ted if he ever met John Wooden. And he said, no, he didn't get the chance. And then she says, well, you know what time it is? And he says, 9:30 or half nine, as you folks say over here.
Half nine.
And she's like, we just do that to annoy Americans. But she says, no, this is the time of year that I come down and I reveal something to you. And he's like, oh, all right, okay. And he's like, well, maybe, hang on, maybe I should try to guess this time. And he's like, no, 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 okay, go ahead. So she just looks at him and says, I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even walking down here, I try to think of what I could come up with, but nothing would pop in my head, so absolutely nothing. And she's like, sorry, Ted, no truth bomb this year. And he looks at her, he says, all right, well. And then he just says, I got one.
And that's it.
And that's how the episode ended.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's the way I felt when that ended. Wow.
So I think the truth bomb can really only be one thing, which is that he is going to go home.
Yeah. That's what I think too.
The other thing I was thinking the truth bomb could be, and it's kind of in relation to him going home, is him telling her all the times that she did hurt him. I would love to see Ted go on a tear around town telling everyone that even though he forgave them, what they did hurt him, and he just needs to let them know now because he's not going to hide it anymore.
Just because let it rip at everybody.
He seems like a tad angry when he says the I got one.
Yeah.
But I still think it's going to be Henry or just Henry. Do you think we're going to see it happen? Do you think it's going to pick up right there?
I wonder. I don't know.
I know.
No, I think it's... I don't know. Maybe they go on the episode for a while and you're not knowing what it is, but it's...
I could see that.
But they're giving hints to it or... I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I kind of feel like almost how we didn't see Colin say that he was gay.
Right.
Like maybe we don't need to hear Ted say he's leaving.
Right.
We're just going to know when the episode starts and they're like preparing for him his last week or so or whatever.
That's interesting, yeah.
It would be crazy if it did pick up at the exact moment, though, because I really want to see Rebecca's reaction to hearing the news. So instead of doing the what he learned, what she learned, we're past all that, people. We have no time. There's nothing else we can learn about these people.
Yeah.
We have one more episode, and that is it. So it's either going to happen or it's not going
to
happen.
We'll know this week, which is crazy to think about.
I know.
After this long journey.
After more than a year without any of the show.
I know.
And then these 12 weeks that feel like have been the longest of my life, yet also gone by very quickly.
Yeah, crazy. So, I mean, I think about things that happened this season, and I feel like it's last season.
I know. It seems like
Zava
so long
feels
ago.
Like last season.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And
Shandy.
Shandy, thank you. Shandy feels like that was so long ago, I couldn't even remember her name.
I know.
That feels like it was not
Shandy
the same
season. Shandy was so memorable.
So weird. I mean, I guess because we're so fully involved in it, but and at the same time, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think that that's all this season.
And I think the amount of times we watch the episode and the way we break it down, they feel bigger than they are, so they feel more stretched out. I don't know, but I can't wait to go back and just watch this in one chunk when we already know the outcome. So instead, I was just thinking, I went through all the scenarios in my head of what the ending could be, and then if that would make sense story-wise or be something, a satisfying ending. And the first one I had was that, well, he's 100% going home. Mm-hmm. I think he's 100% going back to Kansas.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I don't think there's any way around that. And I personally think that that is what he needs to do because Henry shouldn't be splitting his time. If Ted wants to split his time between Richmond and Kansas, if he can figure out a way to make that work.
Right.
But Henry should have, you know, one school that he goes to and be able to do the summer camps he wants to over the summer. And if there's times when he would want to go to England or whatever for an extended period of time, he has that opportunity and that privilege. But I think the burden needs to be on Ted, not Henry, to keep the contact consistent. Mm-hmm. And then we know that Ted isn't ending up with Sassy or any other random person.
I haven't even seen Sassy in weeks.
I know. I think she is in the finale, but you're right. So the only person he can really end back together with is Michelle.
Yeah.
Whether or not we would even see that in the finale. But would that be a satisfying ending for Ted to have gone through this and then go back to Michelle?
Hmm.
I mean, I feel if they were trying to tell that story, I think we would have seen more of Michelle.
Yeah, I think so too.
And who knows? Maybe if
I think they were
see...
tying that up, like the loose ends of...
Yeah, but then there was that whole look that she gave and he gave that kind of leaves the door open a tiny bit.
I guess so, yeah.
Which I feel like they could be doing just to mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
But if the last episode shows Ted and Michelle like over time back in Kansas coming together, I guess I could see that as an ending. But it seems really like he would be going backwards instead of forwards, which True. Is, you know, and he really wouldn't feel very secure in the fact that she's going to be happy because she hasn't been around him in 2 years. Then the other scenario is that they're just, Ted and Rebecca are soulmates, but they're just going to remain platonic and they live 4,000 miles away from each other.
And that's that.
Right. And then would it be a satisfying ending to have Rebecca also end up alone?
Hmm.
Like she has said that she doesn't want to be alone and she doesn't have to have a partner to be happy. But I think, you know, I think that's something that she's obviously been looking for and the right person throughout these three seasons. And it wouldn't answer that you're going to have a family.
Right.
Like if she ends up completely alone, then she would have to adopt a kid.
Yeah.
Or whatever to be able to have, be a mother or have a family. And it also doesn't factor in the lightning and thunder part of Tish's predictions. So we're still missing that. And we're missing Rebecca having a family.
Yeah.
Another scenario is that Ted goes home.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca does meet up with Dutch guy again. Because he has a daughter. So that's also kind of like Sleepless in Seattle.
Right. Family.
Yeah. I mean, from a storyline point of view, I don't think that makes much sense because it seems odd that they brought him in and then we haven't seen him and then he would show up again. But maybe they were soulmates to get them both to where they needed to be. I mean, yeah. I don't think we'll see Dutch guy again.
I don't think so either.
It's definitely a possibility.
They didn't even know each other's names when he left. How was he going to find her?
Well, maybe he saw her on TV or something and tracked her down.
She owns the Richmond.
And it does fulfill the family prediction.
I see.
And then I was thinking about how Hannah in interviews is always saying that she doesn't think that Rebecca can live without Ted. And when they've asked her about spinoffs and stuff, she said there's no Rebecca without Ted.
Hmm.
But there's going to be some Rebecca without Ted if Ted goes home and she doesn't.
And she doesn't follow him. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I don't think there's any situation where he's going to stay. And I don't think there's any way that Rebecca would ever ask him to stay, knowing that his child is in Kansas.
Right.
Unless all of a sudden Michelle and Henry just pull up in a black cab with all of their belongings and have decided to move there, which I would fully support that because I would like to move there as well.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what if the fact that we know that they're soulmates and like we know that Ted's going to be good in bed or whatever from Sassy is enough for us to understand that they do end up together at the end, kind of like Sleepless in Seattle, and just decide that they're going to be together and walk off, that it's enough for us to know that they have a connection mm-hmm. without Ted ever actually having a realization that he has feelings for her. Because we haven't seen, I mean, Ted's probably attracted to her, but we haven't seen Ted have a realization. Yeah. And if Obviously. Rebecca makes the move, so I, I mean, I guess we could, but that seems odd to me. And then, is Ted leaving going to make Rebecca realize that he means more to her than she thinks he does?
Right. That's right what now. I'm wondering, if we're going to have one of those type of moments.
Yeah.
Which is why... Running to the airport.
Yes. And, you know, if they end up together at the very end, I'm still going to be happy with that.
Right.
But, like I've said before, when you have a movie that's like an hour and 30 minutes, and then your two leads at the end, you know, like just take hands and walk off or have a kiss or something, we've only invested an hour and a half in those two people. But I think right. a three season arc with this couple might seem odd if that's how they end at the end. Mm. And then, yeah, or we're going to see somebody have a realization and have that all wrapped up in this last episode, but it seems unlikely with the amount of time that we have left.
Yeah, one episode.
and all the other storylines to wrap up.
Wow, yeah.
So crazy. I'm genuinely curious to see how this is going to end. And I feel like they're going to surprise us with something that we didn't even think of, no matter how much we think about it. But
yeah, I mean, based on how good the writing is on this show.
And based on how much we've been surprised at other moments.
That too.
All right, so then by when we meet again, we will all know.
We'll all know what happened.
Yes, yeah. We'll all know the outcome. Wow. It's been fun, either way.
It has been. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.